Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic.
Wow, well, what's up, Cayman? This is a different type of look for us.
It is indeed.
Literally a different look, because we are recording ourselves, which we never do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to have a shirt on.
You usually record shirtless.
Always record shirtless, man. Sometimes it's just too hot here. Or I'm in, like, a hoodie, you know?
Bro, casual it's stuff. It's been a hot time.
It's been a very hot time. Dude, the hottest time in 10,000 years, though.
Bro, frickin', I've been checking out I don't know if you've seen the weather in Texas recently. It's, like,
yeah, it's awful.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was like upper 108s average.
I'm like, glad we don't live there anymore.
Dude, yeah, imagine if we still went to college there. That'd be
I would literally be melting.
Yeah, I'd be toasted. But what's been new with you, man? What's good?
Well, you know, just figuring stuff out in the new house. Still looking for a job. I think on Monday, I'm going to reach back out to one of the places that I interviewed and be like, hey, still interested, just so you know.
Absolutely, yeah. You got to do that. Yeah. Send them this video. Show them how serious you are. Be like, I included you in my podcast. I'm very serious.
Very serious.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Best of luck there for that. We all know finding jobs is quite difficult. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you move to a new place and you have no hookups. That's always tough. Yeah. But on my side, it's beautiful weather here today in Colorado. It's the first day in a long time that it's finally not melting. We just talked about it. Temperature here is like 74-ish.
That's really nice.
Very nice. And I think it like sprinkled this morning, a little bit of rain. But yeah, no, like just playing a lot of volleyball, working. I'm actually on a project that's an NDA, so I can't talk about it, which is really fun and cool and fancy. Yeah.
So spill the beans.
Yeah, tell us everything. But yeah, no, it's just been a good time hanging out with friends. Hi, friends, if you're watching this. Thanks for watching. And one of my friends, she's a movie fanatic. Honestly, we should have her on the podcast here at one point.
100%.
Yeah, but she's been like nagging me, trying to figure out what this next movie was. And I was like, well, usually we like tell the audience what the movie is like one episode prior to,
yeah.
But we didn't do that. And so I told her, I was like, sorry, I guess you just won't know until I do it. So I literally just sent her a picture after her nagging me for probably a week.
Nice.
Of what we're doing. So, yeah, keeping a little secret. Yeah.
We'll remember to tell people this time.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, what movie are we talking about today?
So today we are going to be talking about 2023's Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. It came out June 2nd, I think. Hold on here. Yeah, June 2nd. Had an estimated budget of $150 million. U.S., it made $380 million. Worldwide, $686 million. So very, very successful, which isn't surprising. The first Spider-Verse movie also did really good. It is, let's see here. We've got, I don't know how to say his name. It's either Shameik or Shameik would be my first two guesses, but I'm going to go with Shameik for now. Shameik Moore voices Miles Morales. Haley Steinfeld on Gwen Stacy. Brian Tyree Henry, Luna Lauren Velez, Jake Johnson, Oscar Isaac, Jason Schwartzman. A lot of people that I think, if you're not paying attention, you wouldn't know that it's them, but then, like, they're all very, like, famous people, you know?
Right, yeah. I know their faces, I just don't know their names.
Yeah, but, yeah, what did you think about Across the Spider-Verse?
Dude, I thought it was a fantastic movie. It was, like, a really nice break from, the typical cinematic, like, filming type of feel, because this one just was, like, unbelievably colorful. It was, I don't know, like, exactly what type of like filming or graphic artists they use for this movie. But dude, it was just so enticing and so it got your attention right away. Granted, I think the beginning was way different than it ended up being for most of the movie afterwards. But I do think it was like really, really like such a cool idea. I don't know. I don't know if they film other ones like they did this one, but
well, yeah, I mean the first movie. One was you saw the first one. I think we did the first one on the podcast.
And I think we liked that one too, no?
Yeah. And I will say, I think because we also recently talked about the new Puss in Boots movie. I feel like that also had a very, like, unique animation style, and I think that that is probably related to the success of the first Spider-Verse movie. I think after that movie came out and became such a big deal, animation studios started to realize that not everything has to look like Toy Story.
right. Literally, yeah. It can be a little bit more anime. You know how they do that? Like, yeah. But it was amazing. It was a great movie. I loved the colors, the visuals, the emotions everyone displayed. But I don't want to get too far into it. What did you think of it?
I thought it was pretty good. I think I definitely... Maybe it got hyped up a bit too much, because I feel like for a while before I watched it, I don't know, I kept seeing all these, like, on Instagram, and, like, everyone on the internet was like, oh my god, this is a life-changing movie, and they're like, I looked within myself and discovered stuff, and I was like, I don't know, I feel like it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like that, me either. That's interesting people were saying that. I feel like the Barbie movie is more along those lines of, like, life-changing shit, not this one.
But, yeah, I think I would say they definitely have made improvements on the diversity of the animation style. I like the continued variety that they provide. I think story-wise, I maybe liked the first one a little bit better, and we can talk more about why exactly that is later. But yeah.
Sweet. Well, I mean, obviously, even from before the spoiler stuff starts, go watch it. I mean, yeah. I highly recommend it.
100%.
Especially if you happy afterwards.
If you liked the first one, I think you'll like this one. It's like the same but different, you know?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
But yeah, let's go ahead and step into the box stingray.
Oh boy, let's do it. I believe, let me look here. I went first last time.
Think so.
No, you go first. Let me change that. Boom. So, yeah, you're first here.
All right. What's up, you, Victor? I'm going to say Miles Morales, also known as Spider-Man, teams up with Gwen Stacy and other spider people to protect the multiverse from a surprising threat.
Okay.
I felt like that was really bad.
No, that was solid, man. You mentioned all the things and the people. I'm not going to be doing that. Let's see. I already forgot their names. This is great. This is a good start.
Well, you know Miles and Gwen.
Yeah, let's see here. After Miles accidentally pisses off the wrong villain, him and Stacy have to band together with multiple versions of themselves in order to keep the multiverse from crashing in on itself. Oh. Yeah.
All right. Well, the official description here on Letterboxd.com is not loading all of a sudden.
Oh no, it's broken.
Here we go. I got it. All right, it says, after reuniting with Gwen Stacy, Brooklyn's full-time friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is catapulted across the multiverse, where he encounters the Spider Society, a team of spider people charged with protecting the multiverse's very existence. But when the heroes clash on how to handle a new threat, Miles finds himself pitted against the other spiders and must set out on his own to save those he loves most.
That's giving away so much.
Kinda.
It's literally like the middle end of the movie.
I think they kind of gave that away in the trailer as well. I feel like they, and I mean, this is a whole separate problem with trailers giving away too much, but they definitely showed in the commercials for the movie that it was like, oh look, there's all these spider people, and then all of a sudden, oh no, he has to fight all these spider people, and you like, they don't tell you why, but they're like, at some point, he is going to be working against them.
I feel that. Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just like, I feel like if I was wanting to look at the movie, I wouldn't want to know that the Spider-Mens are going to be fighting each other. I feel like that was like one of the biggest surprises for me, because I don't watch trailers, right?
Yeah, like, which honestly is smart. I think most movies are, you get a little bit more out of them if you don't know what's happening.
That or like they give you like a preconceived notion of what you think is going to happen, but then it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Or like what happened in some other trailers is they'll put something in there that's not even in the fucking movie.
Yeah. Like, well, and I honestly kind of like that better. I feel like there are some movies where like the trailer is not necessarily telling you what's going to happen, but more just like giving you a vibe.
Vibe.
I like vibe trailers.
I agree with that. Yeah, those are nice. But okay, well, with that description, sorry, I have cat hairs all over me now. Oh my God. flying in my face and my hair and my death drop. But yeah, okay, so I don't think I did anything right in that guess of the movie, just because I wanted to stick to the beginning part of it.
Yeah.
None of us mentioned the Spider-Verse.
No, we both said multiverse. We just didn't. I don't think this says Spider-Verse. It says Spider Society.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, Spider Society.
But I did say Spider People, which it says here. And this says New Threat, and I said Surprising Threat.
And I said Villain.
Yeah.
Singular, but that's not in there. But okay, yeah, I mean, sounds like you got it to me. It is what it is.
I definitely was not expecting it to be that in-depth, but it's not surprising that it is, because like I said, the trailer also gave a lot of that stuff away. But yeah, I suppose I'll take this one.
You just have to take the win. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Alrighty. Well, I think it's time for us to take a wee bit of a break.
Let's do it, and then we'll be come back.
Yeah.
Whoa, we're back.
Whoa. And we're back. That was the quickest, best break I've ever had.
I don't know how I'm going to do this break thing with the video.
I don't either.
I'll figure it out.
You have to like cut off to like some, I don't know, like with the jazz music playing, like some fire.
God,
or
man.
We can do it right now.
Yeah, I'll cut in your fingers doing that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, since this is a very, very, very new movie. We have to, guys, the voice changer, it was me. It was me, but it's a different version of me. It is
the evil me. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else included, this is the spoiler section. And if you don't want the movie spoiled, don't listen.
I sound so bad if I hear myself talking, man. Oh my like god, that's embarrassing.
That one episode where you forgot you to cut? Send. I think it was I think it was the Bourne Identity, because I could hear your voice through Uli's microphone.
Yeah, and you used his audio for the spoiler. Yeah. It's kind of rude, but it's fine. Okay, well, now that we have the big spoiler section taken care of, I would like to start in, I guess, again, talking about the graphics of the movie, like basically like the entirety of it.
Yeah.
I think super artistic, one. I think unbelievably enticing, and it had like really great depth to not even just the characters, but like the surroundings and all that stuff. Like how long this would have taken to make this movie?
I mean,
like, has it been in the works for a while, or is it just like
definitely
kind of, I don't know.
I can look up real quick how long.
Yeah, but I don't know, like just the graphics itself were unbelievable. They also killed it on the music, like
animation work began in June of 2020, so like 2.5 years.
That's insane.
Yeah,
hey, it paid off though, honestly. What an amazing movie.
I will say I do have some bad news. So obviously last time we talked about obviously all the striking happening, and we've talked previously about how animators are very often overworked and underpaid and just not appreciated as much as they should be. It actually came out recently that 100 animators quit their job over this movie.
Over this movie?
Yeah, because they pushed them so hard, 100 people quit.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
It's so upsetting, dude.
So it's like, it's yes, they did an amazing job, but it's sad how much it took to get where it is.
How much it took out of them, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Damn, that is actually sad. But hey, they left with a fucking bang. This was a banger of a movie. On like, good for them for one, like figuring out what they want, and if that they're not being treated like good, they're dipping. But props to that. But also like props just to the fact that they did such a wonderful job and ended it on that.
Yeah. But yeah, there are so many moments where I feel like the animation like becomes a, it's not just like, I feel like there are some animated movies where it's, they pretty much just treat it like a live action movie where the camera is just showing what's happening, but I feel like there are so many moments in here where the animation sort of becomes part of the story. Like, little moments, and there are joke moments, like when they're talking to the principal or whatever, and they find out that Miles has, getting a C in Spanish or something like that, His mom snaps at him, and when she snaps, there's, a little Puerto Rican flag that pops out of her fingers.
I didn't even see that. No way, really?
It's great. Or when Gwen is talking to her dad and she's in a room and you can see all of the colors are very blue and green and showing us her emotional state, and her dad walks in the door and his colors are all orange and very warm and showing how much he cares about her, and then when she runs and gives him a hug, it lights up the room with those warmer colors.
How sweet was that though?
That was great.
That was such a beautiful part of the movie. Just these ideas of using visuals to really dive into the characters is one of the things that throughout the whole movie, you picked out two really good instances, but throughout the whole movie it was like that. It was just very...
It was also just fun to see, because I think in the first movie we obviously had different Spider-Men coming into Miles's world, but in this one we got to see more of other people's worlds, and each of those worlds had its own animation style, and we saw a world that looked like an old comic book with the bendy dots. Gwen's world is all watercolors, which is really fun. I draw in a blank all of a sudden on the other animation styles, but every world is very unique, and so it's nice to not only see the different ways that the Spider-Men are animated, but the way that their worlds are animated as well. Bless you.
Bless me. I agree. Yeah. And granted, that's definitely where that burnout comes through, because it did look so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You can, now that you say that, you can tell that the people were pushed probably limits. But what did you think about the movie soundtrack?
I thought it was the score part of it was really good. I feel like I didn't feel as connected to the licensed music this time. The first one, what was it? Sunflower. Sunflower was the big song in the first movie. And I honestly couldn't even tell you what the big song of this movie was. It just
I couldn't either. Don't worry about that. I just remember when I was sitting in the music, I was wow, the audio and visual cues together did such, even from the get-go, from the beginning, just all those colors flashing everywhere, and then the music was just really vibrant.
Oh yeah, with that, that drum intro?
Dude, yeah.
That was pretty sick.
Just amazing.
I also liked every spider person had their own musical tag, and you could hear it would be a full song of just a normal piece of scoring, but then every time a different spider person would pop up on screen or something would happen with them, their little cue would be in the music somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, all the audio engineers also hands down great.
I feel this is something that other Spider-Man movies haven't really taken advantage of, but I feel they also did a really good job with showing off the different kinds of shots that you can get when you have someone that can walk on walls. Like the scene where Miles and Gwen are talking and they're sitting on the underside of that stoop and you can see the entire city, but it's all upside down. I was that's gorgeous. And I don't know why other Spider-Man movies haven't done something like that.
True. Yeah, good observation. Yeah. What did you think of Gwen's story?
I think it was... I like that this movie focused more on her than... obviously, I guess... Miles was still kind of the main character, but it wasn't as focused on him. It was kind of split. They both have their own journeys happening and they're just intersect.
Right.
Her whole thing with her confrontation with her dad, and obviously that doesn't go well, and so she just disappears for months, her coming back and reconnecting with him, and the way that she is trying to latch on to these spider people because she feels so alone, and then having the threat of that being taken away from her, you can really feel it. And absolutely, I think it's definitely a I think there are similar themes between her story and Miles' story, but they're definitely on different paths.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now, and Miles' story, did you connect to any of them, like, on an emotional level where you would shed a tear? Because usually when I watch these types of movies and, and they're meant to be connected really in depth with, like, the parents or family members or someone dying, I usually would cry or tear up, one of those two things. But honestly, in this movie, although they depicted really well, like, their relationship with their parents or, like, the father's dying or a ton of the Spider-Men's, I never got, like, that feeling of, like, true sadness for the character. And I think that's weird just because, like, it was such a enveloping movie. But I just don't know where it was where I personally missed the cue of, like, now you should be sad.
I think I also, there wasn't really any moments in here where I felt like I wanted to cry or anything like that. I think maybe this is just because, like, a product of what Miles is going through. Like, obviously he does love his dad and he doesn't want him to die, but I feel like they kind of have a very strained relationship. And I think because his relationship with his dad wasn't as emotional, it didn't feel as emotional for us. But I really liked the way they depicted his relationship with his mom. I thought that all of the moments between them were very touching. And even, like, in the end, when he is in a completely different universe with a completely different mom, like, the way that she talks to him and expresses her love for him is, like, it's really good.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. In every universe, I feel like his mom, well, at least for the ones that we saw, his mom was just, like, the cornerstone of like, that family, of keeping them together in that way. Which, like I said, though, like, my mom is that for me. I'm a big mama's boy, right? And
does your mom also hate when people call her by her first name?
No. But, like, you know, like, I don't know. Me being so close to my mother, right, it should have given me that emotional push. Or, like, yeah. I think here and there I thought about it and, like, I compared myself to, like, the kid. But it was just, maybe it was so fast paced even that there was just so much happening in the movie, like, that the sad scenes just weren't long enough to really get me.
Gotcha.
I just don't know. But
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to see, like, with you, because I know you and I share, like, that emotional bond when it comes to, like, these types of movies sometimes, like, where we'll tear up or cry a little bit.
Yeah, we're big crybabies.
We are big crybabies during movies. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's
a good
thing.
No, for sure.
And, you know, being emotional humans and being able to talk about it and admit that, that's a plus one for us.
I will say, small thing that I didn't like when Miles follows Gwen into the portal. I feel like that portal stayed way too long. And I remember I was watching with Elena and she said the same thing, because we see that portal open and close several times throughout the, and usually it's like it opens, people come out of it, and then it closes. And this time it was like Gwen went through the portal and it just, like, stayed open, and Miles had time to, like, look around and, like, think about things, and he was like, all right, I'm gonna follow her. And Elena was like, why is that portal still open?
True, yeah. Yeah. I didn't think of that. But maybe it was the universe telling him to follow her. Follow his love, I guess. Do they ever end up, like, together? You know?
Not in this movie.
They should. They're a cute couple. I just don't know if it's possible that two Spider-Mans can date.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Yeah. I really liked the there's a scene where we, like, go through several different universes, and I like that J.K. Simmons plays J. Jonah Jameson in every universe.
Oh no.
So
that is
J.K. You can look up a photo of him, but he played J. Jonah Jameson in the Raimi Spider-Man movies, and he was just A+, and they have since brought him back. He now also plays J. Jonah Jameson in the new, like, MCU Spider-Man movies, and now he voiced him in all of the universes that they went through. Every time you, like, hear his voice in the background, it's the same person.
Yeah, I think I realized it was him when it went into that Lego universe.
Yeah, I think they focused more on him. There was, like, a few little snippets of him in the other universes, but it spent a few seconds with him in this Lego universe.
Yes. He's, like, iconic though to, like, the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, he's just that. I don't know. He's always been there.
I also thought it literally made me laugh out loud when after in the Lego universe, when he's sitting in the toilet and he's talking to Miguel on his arm, and then when he gets done with the call, he goes beep boop.
I honestly really liked that Lego universe. It was such a good idea. Like, I don't know, man. Is this like a playoff of like the comics, or is this movie like standalone thing?
There's definitely the Spider-Verse is a thing in the comics. I don't think that the storyline is completely different. It's not like they didn't pull the story, but like the idea of there being this, that like the spider society and having all of these different Spider-Man coming together, that's a concept from the comics.
Gotcha. Okay. That's dope. What did you think of the villain? He was like such a minute little character. You didn't know exactly that he was going to be like this big thing, and then all of a sudden one Spider-Man pissed them off and he fucking goes nuts.
I think I really liked it. I liked him as a villain, and I will say, I after doing some more research, I figured out, apparently they announced a long time ago that this was going to be a two-parter. I missed that announcement, so I wasn't expecting it, and so when the movie just, like, ended, it kind of threw me off a little bit, and...
Oh, okay. Yeah, because he became stuck in, like, a different type of realm, right?
Yeah.
Or in himself? Or
he got stuck like in that? A different universe, and the ending of this movie is Gwen teaming up and being like, we have to go save Miles, and yeah. Now we have to like wait another 3 years to freaking see another one.
Hopefully they can hire those designers back on, because they made.
But yeah, movie. I think I wish we got more of him in the end. I feel like the movie was kind of juggling between Spot as the villain and the issue with Miguel. And I don't know. I feel like it's troublesome to me. I really like that it's like the connection between them. Like, they kind of make fun of it in the beginning where he's like, I'm your arch nemesis. And Miles is like, yeah, sure, whatever. But then he explains the whole thing where, like, it's the guy he hit with the bagel in the first movie. Then he, like, apparently when they blew up the super collider, that's what turned him into a weird, like, portal person.
Yeah,
but I like...
stuck in there.
Yeah, I like that he and Miles have, like, they're kind of trying to achieve the same thing, which is, like, the idea that, like, I'm not gonna be stuck in the role that's assigned to me. Like, for Miles, it's, like, his whole thing with Miguel O'Hara and like all of this stuff has to happen to you, and he's like, no, I'm not gonna just like play your game, I'm gonna do things my own way and become my own person. And the Spot is pretty much doing the same exact thing where he's like, I know you think that I'm just like a villain of the week, but I'm gonna prove to you that like I'm this big villain and I'm a serious threat. And yeah. I like that they're like, they're on opposite sides, but they're trying to achieve the same goal.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think like that the Spot was, I think his, for me, like the whole character development of him was just really fun to watch, because he also brought in like a lot of humor in like situations where he was faced with the Spider-Man, and where he was kind of like giving him the middle finger a little bit of like see what I can do, this is crazy, right?
Yeah.
And I like that humor. There wasn't like too much humor in this movie though, which is maybe a little bit of a sad L for me.
I think it, like
comedian
there, it was like, yeah, I guess that this was like definitely more, I guess, serious than the first one. And I think a lot of that had to do with there was like different, like the spider people that he teamed up with were less of a joke. Not to say that in like an insulting way, but like in the first movie we had like Spider-Ham, who's like a cartoon pig, and like that's just a funny character, and voiced by John Mulaney, who is also a famous comedian. And like there were a lot more funny things in the first one, and I feel like this one, like the different spider people that we get in here are not as jokey, which I kind of enjoy, because I feel like a lot of movies nowadays can like, I don't know, I feel like there are a lot of jokey superheroes, and so
that's interesting.
I don't mind it as much that this one is less jokey.
I feel like out of all the Spider-Man that we saw, it was the OG Spider-Man, like the actual human, that brought in probably the most comedy.
You talking about Peter B. Parker the baby?
With him and his kid, yeah.
Yeah.
Just because like that, he was kind of like a let loose kind of like dad character almost, I would say.
Yeah.
And he tried his best, I think sincerely, to help out that Spider-Man, but I couldn't really figure out like the whole goal of what the Spider-Verse teams like had when they were going after him. I couldn't see where that was going, but yeah, he definitely brought the comedy into
was
the movie
he,
for me.
Would you say like, he was your favorite Spider-Man in this movie?
That's tough. I would, no, probably not. But he is one that sticks out just because, like, when he goes home and he, like, sees his wife and she's like, you didn't bring the baby, like, on a mission again, did you? He's like, no. And, like, the baby kind of has, like, this, like, the vibe of what the baby in The Incredibles has of, like, being smarter than comes off.
Than a baby should also, be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, like who would you say is your favorite Spider-Man then?
Damn, that is tough. Okay, you talk first, and then I'll come after because I need to see the lineup.
I think my favorite was probably Hobie, who is Spider-Punk. I just liked, first of all, I loved his animation style. The whole, like, cutout newspaper thing is just, like, so different from all the other spider people. I thought that was really fun. But then I also liked that he was, like, an actual, like, he had the full-on, like, punk, I guess, attitude. And, it wasn't just the aesthetic of punk rock. It was, like, he was an actual, like, almost anarchist. Where he was,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, where he was, like,
here's my device, bro. Go fuck him up.
Yeah, he was, like, walking through the lab, just, like, stealing shit off the walls. And then after they have the whole confrontation and then Miguel traps him in that, like, hard light prison. And he, like, reminds him, he's like, you can break out of that.
Yep.
And he's just like, his whole attitude is just like, fuck the system. Like, he doesn't care who's right or wrong. He's like, if someone gives me rules, I'm gonna break them.
Yeah. Damn, that's tough. I mean, he was definitely fucking cool. Damn, maybe my character is the guy with the baby, like the favorite one that I had.
Okay.
Damn, that's tough. Yeah, I think that's what I'm gonna go with. Just because I like the comedy when it comes to these types of movies, right? I feel like should be a good balance between, like, being sad and having, like, good comedy. But in this movie, like I said, like, it stayed very well in the middle of both of them. It didn't lean off to, like, one side where it was, like, trying to pull the heartstrings, but it also didn't lean over to the full comedy side. So, like you said, it's more of, like, a serious group of Spider-Men.
Yeah, I will say, well, because that's the thing, is, like, I think, like, Spider-Punk is, he's not jokey, but, like, he's funny in his own way. Like, it's funny because he's so anti-establishment.
Because he doesn't care,
Right. And, like, I also thought, like, Pav was also super funny. I first of all, loved, what was it, Mumbatan, where it's, like, New York and Mumbai combined together.
Yeah.
That was a gorgeous world, and I loved, first of all, great spider suit, how it had all that, like, Indian, I guess, flair to it, and he was, like, using, I don't know what those little, like, string yo-yos are called. I think there's a specific name for them, but, like, him having that as a weapon was super cool.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's like probably the closest second, just because I just liked how they displayed his area of, like, home.
Mm-hmm.
And then displayed, like, to me, he was kind of, like, on the poor side of the Spider-Man's. Like, that's kind of how he portrayed in my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, so out of all the which one do you think was the most out of left field from the ones that we saw, like, in their verse? Like, to me, the most out of left field Spider-Man was the dragon. Do you remember that?
I remember there, like, being a dinosaur.
Or was it a dinosaur?
Same shit, right? No. No, there's a T-Rex called Petarker, I think, because it's like it's playing off the fact that, like, pterodactyls have a silent P.
I do not hear you anymore. Wait, hold on. Wait, talk again.
Hello.
Perfect. What were you saying? There's a T-Rex.
I believe the T-Rex's name is Petarker.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, yeah, the T-Rex, that's what it was. That was, like, such a funny thing that happened for, like, 1 second, and it was gone.
Yeah, there was also a spider cat. There was a apparently living spider buggy.
Oh, yeah, the car. I forgot about that.
The cowboy Spider-Man was really funny. And he had, like, a six-shooter that shoots webs.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you now this question. Out of all the Spider-Men that there were, which do you think, like, out of the main ones that we saw, which do you think was the least enjoyable?
How do you mean?
Like, to me, the least enjoyable one was basically the leader of them. The guy that had, Miguel? Like, the red things coming out of his arm here.
Yeah.
He was, like, hella serious. That guy. I don't know if he brought enough to the table for me.
I thought, I forget her actual name now. I think it's, yeah, Jessica Drew, the pregnant Spider-Woman with the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah, her.
She just felt kind of bland to me. The motorcycle wasn't, like, I get how they were trying to, like, make it cool, but, like, a spider person on a motorcycle just isn't that cool to me.
No.
Like, I feel like having a vehicle makes it less cool, because that's just, like, that's not how spider people move around. Like,
exactly.
There are plenty of other heroes that ride around on a motorcycle. We don't need Spider-Man to do that
as
well. Right.
Yeah. I agree. That's funny.
And I forgot where I was going with that.
No, that's a good stopping point there. In the movie,
yes.
When they, like, meet each other again for the first time after a while, and she's, like, on the secret mission, what do you think about that?
About the secret mission?
Yeah. Yeah, like that one small little part in the movie that led to him jumping in, you know.
I mean, it makes sense, because, like, obviously the spot is creating problems, and I think it's kind of irresponsible for them if they thought it was such a big problem. Like, why would they send Gwen? They could have sent someone else, and it wouldn't have turned into this whole big issue. So that feels like, from a leadership perspective, a poor decision. But
I agree.
I don't know. I thought it was funny what he was, like, tinkering around, and when he makes that, like, tiny little piece of, I guess it's like dark matter or something, I don't really know, and he's like about to touch it, and he's like, all right, this is gonna work, and then he goes or it's gonna destroy me and this entire building, and that would be really bad, and then he touches it.
Anyway, I don't know, that one part in the movie just kind of, it felt like very piecework. I feel like they could have done something different with the dot. I don't know what it would have been, but it felt like that came out of left field, where it was like this, like, oh, this one little thing here is gonna influence the rest of the movie. I don't know, it didn't really do it for me. It was too short of a thing. Like, if they want to paint Gwen as cheating on the dude by her being like the secret spider society and being whatever, spying and dropping gadgets down, like, let's see more of that, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. How did you feel? I know you said you think Miguel was the least interesting one to you, but how do you feel about, like, the, I guess, his mission of, like, the whole thing where it's like, you need to let all these people die, otherwise it's gonna destroy the multiverse, kind of a thing.
Yeah, like letting the dads die, not changing that outcome.
Yeah.
There has to be someone that looks after that. But again, at the same time, it's like, when that stuff happens, when, like, the dads die, that's, like, usually purely an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spider-Man being there and having helped out and saved, I think he's Indian, the Indian guy's dad, Spider-Man's dad.
Well, that one wasn't Spider-Man's dad. That was his girlfriend's dad.
That, I don't know. I don't know how that could have messed everything up. But again, his mission and him being, like, super serious on, like, this high pedestal and him coming down super slow. He's like, oh yeah, that's a good thing. Like,
that was funny.
That was really funny. And then he was, like, super serious about everything. I just think, like, that him being, like, the singular guy who they painted as, like, the main leader was a little interesting, because he had no leadership qualities.
Yeah, I think it was less like, he's just the leader because he knows the most about it, kind of a thing. Like, it's not necessarily that he's a good leader. It's just, like, he is the most determined, and so he, like, no one else is gonna take the leadership position. So it just falls.
Yeah, but at that point, like, who set up that whole, like, spider system? Like, they had a whole building, and
yeah, that was
him. Busy, and yeah, like, him, one guy. There's no way.
Well, I'm sure he didn't, like, manually build it all by himself. He probably,
well,
like,
no. No, but I'm saying, like, why wasn't there, like, a spider council? Like, that would have been so much more enticing, and then they could have painted him as, like, the kind of the serious hard ass. Right,
that's
in
true.
This council, and there's, like, ton of different, like, personalities, versus just being like, oh yeah, that's the guy.
I'm very really conflicted slowly. About the whole, like, multiverse falling apart kind of thing, because obviously we, like, he tells us the story of, like, I tried to go into a world where I still had a daughter, and, like, the entire universe got ripped apart, and then we see like when they're in Moonbat after Miles saves that police chief, there's, like, this giant hole opens up in the ground, and all the spider people come in, and it, like, it looks like something that they've done before, so it's, like, it's not like this is a first time thing, because I know at one point Miles was like, no, that was just the spot, but it's like, the spot just got created a couple days ago, so if they've had instances like this before, that means it wasn't the spot. And but there's also, like, when
did
he's
talking, did they say it was the spot though?
Miles tried to blame it on the spot. Yeah,
I thought that he said that it's happened in the past before, where Spider-Man tries to interfere and save someone's life, and just the pure action of him saving someone's life that should have been dead broke the
universe. that was Miguel's argument.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
But that's the other thing, is because when he's talking about, like, there are these certain events that happen in every Spider-Man story every single time, and it's just like, I don't know, I guess they don't really go in, and it's kind of weird, they never touch on any of the, like, main, like, I guess antagonists' backstory, but, like, literally none of them have that happen to them. Like, one of the moments that when they're, like, going through all those different things, they're like, this happens to everyone. But, like, for people that are more familiar with those people from the comics, like, I guess the big three would be, like, Miguel, Jessica, and Ben Reilly, who's the Scarlet Spider, who's the one that was, like, super emotional all the time, and he's like, I can't talk right now, I'm thinking about my past.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy was, but he was good fucking dad.
But those,
against the wall, I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
Like, but those, I'm pretty sure those three spider people, none of them actually got bitten by a spider. So that's already, like, one of the canon events that he was talking about didn't happen to any of them. Like, for Ben Reilly, he actually is a clone of Peter Parker. So he didn't get bit by his own spider. He is just a clone of Spider-Man.
Oh my god.
And then Jessica, I don't remember what happened to her. I don't think she even has spider powers. I don't know. I don't remember.
She's there, so she has to kind of part of the crew, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen or read a lot of Spider-Woman stuff. But Miguel, first of all, he is, like, he's not even technically in a different universe from Peter Parker. Like, I don't think they ever say it in the movie, but his Spider-Man thing is he's Spider-Man 2099. And so, like, his story is that, like, normal Peter Parker Spider-Man happens, and then just, like, a long way in the future, Miguel is, I think he gets injected with something that gives him his powers.
Yeah,
but, like, he also doesn't get bitten by a spider. So I'm just like, it throws a little bit of doubt, but at the same time, I don't know, I feel like they never make it clear, and that's another one of my problems with this being part one out of two, is the movie ends and I don't know who to root for, because I'm like, if Miguel is right, then Miles goes back and saves his dad and then his universe gets ripped apart. But if he's wrong, then that's almost worse, because then that means all of the other spider people just let these people die for no reason. So I'm like, I don't know if Miguel's right or not, and I feel like that's probably my biggest problem with this movie, is it's frustrating to get through the whole movie and not know, like, who's wrong.
Right. Now, do you think that's, like, a negative for that movie, or do you think that's more of, like, a kind of meant to put them both on very equal pedestals, so that you, as the viewer, has, like, conflict and has, like, the urge to go see the second one?
I mean, they might have done it on purpose, but I don't like it. I think...
I think... You gonna see the second one? You are, right?
But I was going to anyway. I don't need that conflict to go see the third one.
Yeah, that's fair. But people like me, I need that conflict, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it ended, like, on, like, a note of, like, oh, well, like, this guy's gonna win, probably, then he's probably gonna win.
I don't know. I feel like it, because we've talked about this before, is, like, there's a difference between, like, it's fine if one movie, like, leads into another one, and, like, the classic example that I've been seeing a lot of people talking about online, I don't necessarily know if I agree with this, but a lot of people are talking about, like, Empire Strikes Back with Star Wars. Like, when Empire Strikes Back ends, like, they haven't won yet. Like, they didn't kill the Emperor. Like, all of that stuff happens later, and so there's the way that Empire ends, there's still a lot of story left that needs to be resolved, but the story of Empire Strikes Back has its own resolution, and I think this movie needed that. I feel like there's the overarching story, which is fine to split up. It's okay to have, like, a conflict at the end of this movie, but it needs to have, like, a smaller story that gets resolved in this movie so that it feels like a complete movie. And I feel like this movie doesn't feel like a complete movie because there was zero resolution for anything.
Would you not consider the universe at that point not being ripped apart a resolution?
No, because he didn't save anyone yet, so...
True. But they stalled the Dot as well.
Did they?
Kind of a resolution. Kind of, I think so. He's stuck somewhere.
No, I think after that scene where he like becomes all powerful, he just like disappears, and I don't think we see him for the rest of the movie. They're in Moonbatten. He goes into the Super Collider, and he turns into like this super like evil, super powerful version, and then he disappears, and then the building gets cut in half, right. And they have to stop the building from crushing people. After that scene, we don't see the spot again for the rest of the movie.
Damn, that's true. Wow, they really want us to watch part 2 or 3.
Yeah, but I'm like, I just,
yeah,
I think,
didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like you said, though, at the beginning of our chat here, it's like the movie really split the two Spider-Mens and the Dot into like 3 equal parts of the movie, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And none of them took complete reins of who you're supposed to focus on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Here. Yeah. I'm just going through my notes, seeing if I miss anything.
I've gone through my notes at this point. I don't have anything else.
I have 2 notes that I'm not quite sure what they were about.
Okay.
One of them is, just for the record, I quit.
Oh, yeah. That was after Hobie helped Miles escape. He like rips off his multiverse watch and he's like, peace out, and then just throws it and dips out.
That's what it was, yeah. And like jumps back in the portal.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then we figure out later that he, all of those pieces that he was stealing from the laboratory, he built his own watch.
Insane. And then one other thing here, it says, everyone keeps telling me how my story is supposed to go, so I'm gonna do my thing. I think we talked about that, though, at the beginning.
Yeah, I don't think we mentioned that specific line. I think that's a callback to the first one. I don't remember exactly when I didn't rewatch the first one before this, so I don't remember exactly when he said it, but I'm pretty sure at one point in the first movie he said, nah, I'm gonna do my own thing. And so that was like a callback to that.
Yeah. And I guess we can kind of end on this. It's like the...
Hold on, you cut out on your him. Phone. I can't hear you. Oh, there you are.
Yeah. Okay, now you can hear me again, right?
Nope. All I heard was, oh.
Wait, it's connected now?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Perfect. Yeah, I don't know. It just deconnects and it disconnects and connects again over and over and over. Anyway, what do you think of... Dude, the flip of him going into the portal when that like spider machine was like building this shit for him.
Oh, yeah.
And then the flip of him going to Earth 42 because of the radioactive spider that bit him from that world.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I thought that was definitely like, I don't know. It took me a while to catch on. Like, I feel like
right,
I didn't.
Exactly.
I almost didn't get it until they like announced it. And I feel like I should have gotten it a little earlier, but.
That's pretty late. Yeah.
But yeah, I realized, because when I went back to watch it the second time, there's like a very quick scene where earlier, when the Spot is telling Miles about how he was created, he mentions, he's like, yeah, I brought the spider in from a different universe. And there's like a, like literally less than a second, a couple frames, you can see the spider approaching other Miles with his braids. And so it's like kind of a hint before, like, obviously, because we don't see other Miles until the end, but
right,
turns out you get a small snippet of him towards the beginning of the film.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't catch that at all, but that definitely threw me for a loop there for a second. I was like, oh my god, no way. I thought that was a
sorry, I didn't hear any of that.
There we go. I basically was just like, oh my god, no way, it's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why my thing is disconnecting and connecting all the time.
That's
maybe
fine.
I have to connect to too many Bluetooth devices. Who knows?
It'll show up in the recording.
Yeah. But yeah, I think at the end of the movie, honestly, bro, I was surprised that there's a to be continued thing. I'll be real. I had no idea that was happening.
Pretty wild.
Yeah, it's like in full caps with 2 question marks, 3 exclamation marks. I was very confused.
And then
I said, what a good ass movie.
I feel like I don't know what's going to happen with Miles as the Prowler and him being like trapped by himself. But also, I don't know, it doesn't, for some reason, it doesn't feel that threatening to me. Like, I feel like Miles isn't really in any danger, even though he's like strapped to a punching bag. I'm like, he'll probably be fine.
Yeah, pretty casual. It's like Thursday. Yeah, I agree. But yeah, that's the end of my notes.
Well, either way, if you like me also didn't know that this was part 1 out of 2, be prepared for that. But
yeah, that's
But
if you
definitely
all the way through this with the spoiler warning, you know a lot of the movie already.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even if you listen to this whole thing and you haven't seen it, still go see it. It was good.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I mean, you could also, if you just wait another 5 years, you can just watch both of them back to back, and then you don't have to have a weird cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I will say though, if you do watch them back to back, because I know Elena was also complaining about how long this one is, because it's like it's 2 hours and 20 minutes, so it's like it's a pretty long movie.
That's not too
bad. I mean, there are longer movies, but like it's pretty lengthy.
Usually movies go like what, 20 minutes, 2 hours, right? This one's like maybe 20 minutes over the usual watch time.
I mean, I guess, but 2 hours is like a big difference when you're watching a movie. I feel like there are plenty of movies where I feel like they could definitely cut 20 minutes out of it and it would feel better.
Absolutely, yeah. That's like one thing why I'm not like, I've never been a big movie watcher, just because it does take so much like focus to sit there for 2 hours. That's like a
Do you remember when we watched The Batman? That movie is what, like 3 hours?
Bruh. Oh my god, yeah. Or what is it called? KKK? No. RRR.
KKK.
RRR. Dude, that movie is also fucking long.
That one was also 3 hours.
God, yeah, man, that's insane.
But yeah, I think I mean, we never watched the Snyder cut of Justice League, but that one's 4 hours.
Nope, not doing it. I can't do that, bro.
I know some people split it up. They would watch the first 2 hours and then watch the last 2 hours later.
I was gonna say that's like a two business day kind of deal, because that's a lot.
Yeah.
Or like you watch 2 hours and you go like eat or take a break away from the screen and then you come back.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine sitting somewhere for 4 hours with my eyes peeled on a screen.
I watched it straight through.
That's wild. How are you at the end of the movie? Tired, huh? Probably toasted.
All right, but anyway, let us move on to trivia.
Let's do it.
So the Lego universe sequence was actually animated by a 14-year-old named Preston, who was hired after Phil Lord and Christopher Miller were impressed. He made a video on Twitter recreating the trailer with Legos.
Wow.
And they were like,
freaking awesome.
So they saw his recreation and they were like, that's really cool. You should do that for the movie, and they hired him to make that Lego sequence.
Dude, how sick is that? Yo, that is so cool. That kid is like, honestly, people that do that kind of stuff at that young of an age and then get recognized for it, like Justin Bieber was when he was whatever that movie YouTube video that he put out.
Yeah,
that's like what they're probably gonna end up doing more than not.
No, for sure. Like, it's insane to me. Like, it's obviously, yes, takes a lot of hard work and talent, but the when people think that luck doesn't factor in, like, there are so many like incredibly talented, hardworking people out there, and the amount that it takes for someone to, like, someone with power to recognize you and be like, I'm gonna choose you and give you this opportunity.
Right. I mean, that's just one out of like a million chance.
Yeah.
Especially because there's just so many YouTube videos being uploaded like every minute, right? It's unreal.
Good for that kid. Second piece of trivia. So in this movie, it is technically revealed by the spot that the spider that bit Miles came from another dimension, like you said, Earth 42. But in the first movie, we can actually see when the spider bites him, the spider is glitching, which is something that only happens when you're in a universe that isn't your own.
Right, yeah. Like, what was happening to Miles when he was in all the other universes without the watch?
Yeah, so the spider was doing that in the first
one. Interesting, okay. I'm sure we just took that as like, oh, the spider's, you know, radioactive, crazy, whatever.
Donald Glover cameos as a live-action version of the Prowler. I don't know if you remember that in the scene where they're going through all the bad guys, which also was a really entertaining scene. There were so many little Easter eggs in there. They had, like, the PlayStation, like, from the Spider-Man games. That Spider-Man was in there. And, but yeah, one of them was, you know who Donald Glover is, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, he was sitting there, and he actually had previously played Aaron Davis in one of the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. At one point, he's buying some weapons, and Spider-Man, like, webs his hand to a trunk, and he talks about, he's like, yo, I got a nephew, and he's like, I'd like making a reference to like obviously his nephew would be Miles, and so he shows back up again in this movie in like full Prowler gear. But it was Spider-Man Homecoming, so the first of the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies, he showed up. But he was actually the like original visual model for Miles Morales, like in the comics. Like when they created Miles Morales, they used Donald Glover as reference for what they wanted him to look.
Oh wow, that's cool.
And he also voiced Miles in the Ultimate Spider-Man TV series from 2012 to 2017.
Okay, yeah, so like a full circle for that guy.
Yeah,
that's amazing. That's really cool.
Next piece of trivia here: this film surpassed the total gross of the first movie Into the Spider-Verse in just 12 days.
Holy
cow. So less than 2 weeks, they made more money than the first movie made the entire time it was in theaters.
Bro, that's insane. But honestly, like, I don't know if it was the advertisements they did for this movie or just literally word of mouth, but I heard so much good stuff about this movie, yeah, like right when it
hit. Well, I mean, that's what I was talking about earlier, is I kept seeing videos and stuff and being like, oh my god, it's the best movie ever. Can you not hear me?
I think my things are dying.
Now I can't hear you.
Fuck me, man.
The last piece of trivia we've got here, that this, actually mentioning that it's 2 hours and 20 minutes, it's the longest American animated film, like, ever.
Really?
Yeah.
That's insane. That's actually crazy. Like, even, yeah. Well, okay, so what other animated films were there, or are there, that it would compare to?
Let me look up the second longest. The previous record holder was Chicken Run.
Dude, bomb movie.
Held the record for 22 years.
Wow.
Let's see, Chicken Run was an hour and 42, hour and 24 minutes. That's a big leap. That's like, that's a whole extra hour. Yeah, I guess animated movies just like don't usually run that long.
Yeah, probably because it just like is that difficult, you know?
Yeah, because it takes longer. Because obviously like with live action, you just like, I can just like wave my hand and it happens. But when you're animating, you have to like draw every single frame.
Right, right. But honestly, like maybe with AI or like, you know, we talked about this kind of last time.
Yeah.
With the help of those tools, it's maybe getting a little bit easier.
Yeah. Well, and especially even like, even without AI, when you're doing like a 3D movie, a lot of times they'll have like, you have a digital model and you can like rig it. So instead of having to draw every single frame, you just like take a photo like this and then you can just like drag the hand and then take another.
Yeah. Exactly like that. Yeah.
Before Chicken Run, it was Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, what a good movie. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, really?
One of my favorite movies. Yeah.
Nice.
So good. There's a big book about how they made it. Amazing. Yeah.
Well, I think that's it for trivia, so let's get wrecked.
Let's get wrecked, baby. I have a recommendation right in front of me. I've been drinking it. It's in the morning, but it is what it is. Bro, these Celsius drinks are insane. I don't know if you've ever had one before.
Is that an energy drink?
Okay, so I didn't know it was an energy drink. I bought these because I saw, like, on here, it was, like, essential energy, accelerates metabolism, burns body fat, and I was going to, like a game night at a friend's house, and I was like,
yeah,
I don't want to bring alcohol, so let me just get these at like a gas station or whatever. So I bought six of them.
Okay.
And at the game night, I drank four of them. And come to find out, each one of these is 200 milligrams of caffeine.
That's the same as a Monster.
It's more than a Monster. So in about 2 hours of sitting, I had 800 milligrams of caffeine coursing through my veins.
You died, is what happened.
It's unbelievably unhealthy for you. So I think a healthy dose is like 400 a day, and I drank double that in 2 hours. But dude, these drinks they taste amazing. You don't taste any, like, they just taste like fruit drinks, and some are sparkling, some are like still like a tea kind of thing.
Yeah.
Highly recommend them. They're amazing. And they really do deliver a good punch of energy.
I bet, with 200 freaking milligrams.
Yeah. It's wild. They taste so good.
My recommendation is actually going to be an app that I found the other day. I was just like really bored and I was just like trying to find like, I don't know, like a new game to play. And I found it's one of those like, Infinite Runner kind of games, kind of like Temple Run.
Yeah.
But it's called Sky Dancer. And so rather than just like running, there's like platforms. And when you get to the end of the platform, you have to like jump and then you like fall and you have to aim for other platforms while you're falling.
Okay.
It's kind of entertaining.
What's it called again?
Sky Dancer.
Sky Dancer. Okay. Okay. We'll have to give it a look. Yeah. I haven't heard of that. And you found that on your phone?
Yeah. I just like went to the app store and I think it was under the section.
Board, bro?
It was like, it was the section that said like, what are we playing? Like the app developers.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, let's see what's popular.
My God. Why does that sound like something you would totally do? Like, I would never go into that section personally, but you were like, sounds like a fun time.
I was like, well, we'll try that out.
Yeah. Like that fucking, that bird one where the birds make eggs and then they come out with like different
things. The duck one?
Yeah, dude. I played that for so long and I...
You stopped? I definitely don't play it as much as I used to, but I still have it and I dip in every once in a while. Like, let's just go see my ducks.
Yeah, let me go check them out. See what's up. That's dope. That's a good rec. We'll have to see. And then if people are listening that also try that out, yo, let us know. Reach out to us. Tell us how it do be doing.
So with that said, I would like to remind everyone, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on X and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Links for all of those will be in the description. And also, if you are watching this, we are now on YouTube, so you can also go and watch. If you want to see our lovely faces, you can watch us on YouTube. And if you are currently watching us on YouTube, also be sure to subscribe to our channel and
subscribe right here.
I'll figure something out. And obviously, do all that YouTube stuff. Hit like, hit the bell notification. I don't really know it. I think that just notifies you whenever we upload a new video, so that way you don't miss any of our content.
Exactly.
So yeah, like and subscribe, do all that fun stuff. You can also, in addition to sending an email or sending us a message on Twitter or Instagram, you can leave YouTube comments now. So do that.
Yeah, let us know in the comment section what you think of our first time being in front of the camera. Are we presentable? Do you think it's like a good vibe for you to watch? Like,
could be like, oh, you guys are ugly.
Yeah, tell us if we need to change something about our appearances. Any plastic surgeries, casual. But yeah, so I mean, like Cayman said, do that stuff, but also make sure you tell your friends, your family about certain episodes. Make sure to reach out to us via email or any of those platforms if you would want us to review a specific movie type, if you would want us to add something into our podcasts. Like, for example, one of the things that we still need to address is,
yes,
the potential next movie that you can prepare for ahead of time.
Right. So if you'd like to be prepared for our next episode, we are going to be covering The Flash. So go watch that, and then you'll be ready for the next one.
Boom. Yeah. And that was Wreck by Matt Wakeland. Thank you. Shout out to you, homie. yeah. Do all that stuff. Let us know what you think, and we'll be here for next time.
This has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And watching.
And watching?
How do I stop this thing?